This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you a few Divrei Torah. I actually prepared something on Basar B'Chalav, but maybe next time when you're actually learning Basar B'Chalav, we'll do that. I'll share with you Hara on the Parsha, Akasha Reb Chaim, the Grach. We know that when Eliezer tells over to Besuel and to Lavan, his whole conversation with Abraham, that Abraham told him to bring a wife for Yitzchak. So Eliezer says as follows, Va'oimar al adoini, ulai lo yisei lecho isha acharai. I told my master, well, maybe she's not going to come with me. So Rashi says, even though it says ulai, elai ksiv. Eliezer had a daughter, and he was trying to find an excuse that Avram should say, you know what, instead of going to my family, just give your daughter to Yitzchak. So Avram says, no, you can't do that. Not a good idea. I'm Baruch, you're Arur, and Ein Arur Mestavik B'Baruch. So Reb Chaim asks a very strong question. I've later found it in the Balei HaTosfos, I believe in the Moshav Zakenim. And that is, the Remez is in the wrong place. Because there are two records of the conversation between Avram Avinu and Eliezer. You have in real time what we call when Avram Avinu actually tells Eliezer, and then Eliezer repeats it to Lavan and Besuel. Rashi says, Yafasi chasen shel avdei ava yisiyosu mitarasim shel banim. So the question is, the first time that it's recorded, it says, Ulai, Aleph, Vav, Lamed, Yud. There, Rashi doesn't comment on anything that Rashi doesn't comment a like siv because taka it's not a like siv, it's u like siv. And there we don't, so to speak, detect the ulterior motive that Eliezer had. So why is this remez, why does it appear dafka on round two? Actually, there are a number of very interesting discrepancies between the first record and the second record, between take one and take two. So for example, the pasuk says, Vahikasha kilo agmalam lishtois. So Rashi says, why does the Torah tell us the measurements and the shiurim of the tachshitin? Says Rashi, beka remez l'machzis ha-shekel. Shnei tzmidim, remez l'shnei luchais. Asara zahav, remez l'asaras ha-dibrais. And yet on take two, when Eliezer repeats it over to Lavan and Besuel, he doesn't say, I gave her a jewelry, Beka Mishkala, Yishnei Tzmidim Al Yadeha, Asar Zav Mishkalam. All these Ramazim do not appear. So why does it only appear in round one? Why doesn't it appear in round two? And the biggest discrepancy is Va'eshal Va'asim. When Eliezer tells over the story, he asked, and then he put it on her hand. He first asked, lady, who are you? And they said, oh, you're Bas Besuel. Okay, here's the jewelry. But in real time, when it actually happened, he first gave it to her. And he says, by the way, all the millions of dollars I just gave you, who in the world are you? So we have that discrepancy. By the way, you know the Ramban. Rashi says that he lied. He first gave it to her, and then he asked. But then when he said it over, he lied. And because he's trying to cover up, because he looks ridiculous having given the jewelry and then asking after the fact. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says he always first asked and then he gave it to her. When it says Va'eshal, Va'eshal means in real time, in other words, he first gave it and then before having given it, he asked. In other words, according to the Ramban, he never gave it to her before he asked. But according to Rashi, he gave it to her before he asked. And by the way, there's a very interesting Chassam Sofer. Are you allowed to lie to cover up looking ridiculous? We know that there are three things you're allowed to lie for. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Talmid Chacham could lie for three things. So the Chassam Sofer wants to know, are you allowed to lie to avoid looking silly? So the Chassam Sofer says, from Rashi, it would seem that you are allowed to lie to avoid looking silly. The Ramban, according to the way the Ramban learns Pshuto Shel Mikra, you can't lie to avoid looking silly. And basically, Safek Doiraisa L'Chumra, so Halacha L'Maisa, you can't lie to avoid looking ridiculous. But again, this is another discrepancy between round one and round two. So you have the shiurim are mentioned, round one and not round two. You have the ulterior motive mentioned in round two, not in round one. You have another interesting thing. Eliezer says, you know, maybe my daughter is appropriate for Yitzchak. And Avram Avinu says, no, not your daughter. You're Arur and I'm a Baruch. This is not a good Shidduch. You know, maybe they should have on the Shidduch resumes, you know, just one thing. Arur or Baruch. And then you know, is it a good Shidduch? Is it not a good Shidduch? But it's interesting because when Avram Avinu dispatches Eliezer, the pasuk says, "Vayemer Avram el Avdoi zekan beisai hamoishel b'chol ashaloi." The medrash says, "Zekan beisai ziv ikunin shaloi doimeloi." He looked like a tzaddik like him. Hamoishel b'chol ashaloi shohi shalit b'yitzroi kamoisai. So the question is, he seems like a pretty good guy. This is the guy that Avram Avinu says you're the Arur. So there's an amazing approach to the Shulchan Kadosh. The Shulchan Kadosh is not really coming to answer all of these questions, but according to his approach, many of these questions are answered. What's interesting is the Shulchan Kadosh has a very similar approach in Parshas Vayishlach. And the approach is like this. Remember last week by the Akedah, the Pasuk says, Vayoymer Avraham Avraham. Two times, Avraham Avraham. It's a Lashon Chiba. But the Nefesh HaChaim says in Ruach Chaim, what's the Lashon of Avraham, Avraham? Nefesh HaChaim says that, contrary to popular opinion, if I were to ask you right now, where is your neshama? So people, they would point to different, their eyes, their brain, their heart. None of that is true. Only the lowest point of the neshama is actually in the guf, but it trickles down, down, down. The neshama is primarily tachas kisei hakavod, and it trickles down, 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 down to all the olamos. And the body to the neshama is like a shoe to a body. The same way nobody lives in a shoe. Only the lowest part of the body is housed in the shoe. So too, only the lowest part of the neshama is housed in the body. Right now, your neshama is primarily in upstairs. Right now. That's what we say in Moedim. Al nishmaisenu hapekudos lach. Our neshamas that are deposited by you. It doesn't mean at night time when you go to sleep. It means right now. Al nishmaisenu hapekudos lach. The only thing is, there is a hefsek between nishmasoi shalmala and nishmasoi shalmata. What's the hefsek? The guf. The fact that the lowest part of your neshama is housed in your guf, that creates a mechitza between your neshama down here and the neshama upstairs. That's why by Avraham it says Avraham, psik, Avraham. However, by Moshe Rabbeinu it says Moshe, Moshe without any psik, because Moshe Rabbeinu was isha like him, his guf was not mafsik between Moshe Shomala and Moshe Shomata. The Shulchan Kadosh has a general rule that whatever happens downstairs in this world really first happens in the spiritual Eilamos, and then down here it just materializes in a concretized form. Therefore, when Avram Avinu is sending Eliezer, and Bechal, there's another question we have to ask. The Brisker Rav asks that Avram Avinu says to Eliezer, don't worry, I'm going to send a Malach in front of you. Really? Could anybody please find any mention of any Malach in the whole Parsha? There's no malach in Parshas Chayisar. You see the word malach? You see any malach in the whole Parsha? There's no malach. That's Akasha, the Brisker Rav. Says the Shulchan Kadosh, there's Eliezer Shalmala and Eliezer Shalmata. Eliezer Shalmala is the malach matat. Eliezer Shalmata is the guy, Eliezer. Eliezer down here is an Urur. Eliezer Shalmata is a malach mushrish bekedusha, the malach matat. Says the Shulchan, the first report of the story is the episode as it happens upstairs in the Olam HaYisrael Yoinim, and the episode, the second record of the episode, is the way it played out in this world, in the flesh and the blood. By the way, it's very interesting, the Shulchan Kadosh on Parshas Vayishlach, he says, Dvarim Niflaim. Did you ever notice that in Parshas Vayishlach, Rashi always brings two Perushim? For example, Rashi brings the Pshat and the Medrash. The Pshat and the Medrash. The Pshat and the Medrash. Kaseder, probably a half a dozen times. And the Shlach HaKadosh says, yeah, Yaakov Avinu sent physical Malachim to the physical Esav down here in this world. And he also sent spiritual angels to the Samach Mem, who Sarah Shal Esav, upstairs. And the Shlach uses this to explain many different Rashi's, about a half a dozen Rashi's in Vayishlach. But coming back to Parshas Chayisara, basically this is not a repetition of the same information. Round one is the way it played out upstairs. Round two is the way it played out downstairs. The Shlach HaKadosh says that the Ramazim that Avram Avinu is saying, Beka Mishkalai, Shnei Tzimidim, Asar Azav Mishkalam, is not relevant to Lavan and Besuel downstairs. It's only relevant in the upper worlds. So in the first report, we have the exact weight of the jewelry. It was Beka, a remez to the Machzis HaShekel. It was Shnei Tzimidim, a remez to the Shnei Luchos HaBris. It was Asar Azav, a remez to Asar HaDibros. But when it's repeated, which is the record of the way it played out in the flesh and the blood down here in this world, none of this information is necessary. It's all not relevant to Lavan and Besuel. Eliezer upstairs, he's a great guy. He's Moshe B'chal Asher Loi. He's Shalit B'Yitzra. Eliezer down here is Arur. So I was just thinking that according to this Shla, we have a very clear answer to the Grach's question on Rashi, where he wants to know, why is this ulterior motive detected specifically in the second time that Eliezer says, V'oymer la, Ulai loisoiva ha'isha lo leches acharei. By the way, Reb Chaim himself says a goinistic answer. Reb Chaim says it's clear. There's a psychological reason why we only detect it the second time and not the first time. You see, the first time, Eliezer's talking to Avram. So it's a very logical question. Avram says, you know, would you mind going across the world to find the shidduch for my son? So Eliezer says, yeah, I don't mind. I just wanted to know, maybe she's not going to come with me. It's a legitimate concern. But when he's talking to Eliezer and Besuel, why in the world would he say, you know, I told my boss that this is a ridiculous idea for me to go bring her because she might not want to come with me. What in the world's he doing? He's shtering the whole shidduch. He's sent to get a shidduch for Yitzchak, and he's telling Besuel and Lavan, you know, I told my boss that it's who in the world would want to come with an Eved across the world? So the fact that he brought up the subject altogether, in that we could detect he must have had an ulterior motive. That's what Reb Chaim says. But according to the Shla, it would come out, there's another very clear answer to this question. In round one, when we're dealing with the upper job of the Malach of Eliezer, the Malach Matat, which by the way answers the Briskerov's Kasha, where's the Malach? The Malach is the entire round one of the story. So there, the Malach has no ulterior motive. He's faithfully fulfilling the bidding of Avram Avinu. But in round two, where we're dealing with Eliezer down here in this world, so in the physical job that Eliezer had in this world, Chazal detect that he had an ulterior motive. He wasn't really wholeheartedly desiring that the shidduch should work out. He had an ulterior motive. He wanted to marry off Yitzchak to his own daughter. So this is just it's kedai to be aware that the Shla learns the whole Parsha Chayisara, differently than Rashi. Rashi learns that there's a repetition. And from here we see, Yafes Sichasam Shal Avdei Avos. And the Shla learns actually, round one was what was taking place upstairs. Round two is what was taking place downstairs. The Shla uses the same Mahalach to explain many, many Rashi's in Parshas Vayishlach. And it's a common theme in general that Rebbe Chanan would say, you know, this is a big issue in America when dealing with, you know, issues, pressing issues of the day. You know, how should the community conduct themselves? Should you protest? Should you march? And Rabbi Chanan would always say that when there's anti-Semitism in the country, that's not the source of any issue. It's not like you wake up one day, oh, and there's anti-Semitism. Okay, let's address anti-Semitism. Whatever we see that takes place in this world is just a reflection of what took place in Shamayim. So it's more effective to deal with the root of the issue, namely with the currency that has an effect in Shamayim, than dealing with the side effects that we see down here in this world. I'm not saying that's always the right approach, but that's how Rabbi Chanan would look at it. And this is an approach that we see in Parshas Chayisara. Thank you for your kind attention, and I wish you bracha v'hatzlacha in all of your limudim. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.